We're doing our class in the Jewish home, and our topic tonight is creating special moments, creating memories. And this is something which is applicable in the home, in the relationship between one and one's wife. It's applicable between one and one's parents. It's applicable between one and one's children. It's applicable between one and one's friends. We live in a world where we don't have time. Hustle, bustle, we're in a rush. We have a new concept called overachieving, which I would call underachieving and overspending. You know, you're investing more time. And questionable whether you're achieving the directions that are really going to be important to you in the long run. And we have to realize that life creates the difficulties. Man creates the occasions. If you're going to wait for spectacular events to happen in your life, then they're not necessarily going to happen. Life is going to keep throwing things at you that'll keep you busy. And the more you advance within marriage and building a family, the more difficulties. Covering the mortgage. Even if you've covered the mortgage, you got to deal with the boss. You got to deal with the events at the office. You got to deal with that PTA. Life takes time. And a person can find himself. I sometimes knock at the door at night. When my wife opens, I say, "Hi, my name's Nathaniel Frankenthal. I live here." it's a situation where
she opens.
She opens, yeah. So far, she's been opening the door, right? Yeah. You haven't seen me here spending a night, right? But I'm saying, you know, if you don't stop and dedicate time, if that doesn't become a priority, and if you don't create special times, so then life can take over, and before a person realizes what's happened, he's married 10 years, 20 years, he's had plenty of fights to remember, and not necessarily plenty of good memories, and that's up to the person. I want to take you to a setting in our house 2-3 years ago. It's Shabbos afternoon. The kids just got up from a nap. And I have over there, they sold in the store a bar of marzipan covered with chocolate. And the kids come into the kitchen and they see I've opened it up. And everyone says, "Dad, could I have a piece?" So I decided to tease them and I took the sharpest knife we had at home and I cut the smallest slither for each kid. And I wanted to see how they'd react. And they danced around the house, each one very excited at how delicious the chocolate was. And that taught me something. I think I've said it before, and I think it's something to remember. You can sit by the computer a whole night, polish off 15 packs of chocolate, and not realize you've eaten one. And then afterwards you look at it and say, "Oh my gosh, how did I do that? It's 5 o'clock in the morning, and I didn't need those pounds." And then you start picking at the little crumbs. And they taste better than the whole pack did, right? Why? Because if you're focused, you can really enjoy it.
Do you have a camera in my room?
We have a custom in most of the Ashkenazi world. We bless the children on the eve of Yom Kippur. And it's a very exciting moment. It's a very special blessing that we give the children. We wish them that they merit to find a livelihood that's easy, that doesn't involve any inappropriate activities. We bless them that they should find favor in their friends' eyes and in God's eyes. It's a long blessing. It takes about a minute and a half, 2 minutes to say it. It's a very exciting blessing. And you can imagine that on the eve of Yom Kippur, things are a little hectic. You have to do kaparos, you want to go to the mikveh, you have to get your kittel ready, you got to get to shul, everyone needs their machzor, you have to eat, you have to light candles, you have to put away the food after you've eaten. Things are hectic. And that blessing, as special as it is, can really get shoved under the rug. So we have two challenges. One challenge is to create special moments, which we'll talk about, And the other challenge is not to miss special moments. A child's first day at school. A person could be very busy. Or a person can take the time and share the moment. The child won't remember it, but you will. Every month, so long as a woman isn't pregnant or nursing, she goes to the mikveh. The couple has been separate for 14 days. Now they're going to be together again. If he's going to come home late from work that night, there's something wrong with that. The couple should go out to eat. They should take the time to have special time together. Many have the custom, especially Yekis, the Germanic Jews, that the father blesses the children on Friday night. So again, you're coming home from shul. You're hungry and tired. Children are hungry and tired. And you've just finished the Shalom Aleichem, the Eishes Chayo, you're about to make Kiddush, and you're going to bless each child. Now imagine you stop for a minute, and before you bless each child, you look them in the eyes, and you ask them, how was your week? Your hands are on their head, you're about to give them a blessing. It's a different blessing. And all it takes is stopping and capturing the moment. You can very easily run through the motions and bless them. Let's take an example from every day. You finish davening, you're taking off your tefillin and you're wrapping them up. What would happen if you'd stop for 5 seconds, give the tefillin a kiss, look at them and think of the meaning? I'm donning something which declares monotheism. God took us out of Egypt. God did it with an outstretched hands with miracles. He killed all their firstborn and saved our firstborn. And we've been doing this ever since. Over 3,000 years. Stop and think about it. Once a week. You know, Sunday. You didn't do a Shabbos. You're putting on your tefillin now Sunday. And it's the first time or on Friday. I don't know what's about you, but I have these separation pangs Friday as I roll up my tefillin. It's hard for me. I'm not going to see him again until Sunday. What's really hard is before Pesach and Sukkos. I'm going to have 7-8 days where I'm not going to see my tefillin. We don't don tefillin here in Eretz Yisrael on Chol HaMoed. But if you think about it, you just stop and think. And suddenly, a person can be super spiritual from something very simple. And suddenly, tefillin take on new meaning in a person's life. So the key to making something special is to stop and take the time. And we live in a world where you don't. I had a very nice experience today. I didn't charge my cell phone last night. So ordinarily, en route, I'm always talking. Today, thank God I couldn't talk. You know, there's a nice world out there to walk. And not be on the cell phone is a different life. Stop and take time. And if we don't stop, there will always be reasons not to have time. It could be our job. It could be our shul. It could be a fundraiser. It could be pious reasons. It could be our parents. You have a family. And there's no replacement for time. It's not only quality time. You also need quantity time. You come home. You've had a day. Your wife's had a day. And it's very easy to run into the house and run into things and each one's going to share their problems from the day. I suggest to couples that when they come home, they have a chavrusa. 5 minutes over a cup of tea. Just sit. Talk. If you're permitted, hold hands. You'll have enough time to run after the emails, SMSs, cell phone, answer calls the rest of the night. Now, it's not a chachma, you know, when you're newlyweds, I tell couples, you come home at night, shut the computer. No computer time, no internet, no cell phone, no SMSs. Be together. Learn who your spouse is. If you don't do that the first year, you're never going to have another chance. You're going to be playing catch-up your whole life. So I say, okay, you won't listen to me to do it the first year, do it the first month. After the first month, you'll see yourself. It's a good idea. So, okay, I'd say there are two or three pieces of advice from everything I say in all these classes that many, many couples have said, thank you, that was a really good one. And this is one of them. That the first month after marriage, you come home at night. We have a chatan here, you come home at night. You agree, no cell phones, no house phones, no emails, no internet. We're spending the night together. And the idea that there's no one else in the house, just us, is a beautiful idea. And you could do that, by the way, after the first month too. When we got married, so the morning after the wedding, the phone rings at 6 o'clock in the morning. So, 6 o'clock in the morning, that's not what you're expecting, right? So I'm thinking it must be some kind of emergency, right? Why would someone call at 6 o'clock in the morning? It was some girl who was interested in a shidduch. So, so I after I hung up the phone, I got on the voicemail and I recorded the following message. We got married now in Teves. I said on the voicemail, "Thank you for calling. We're very busy, and we will be taking messages and returning to people after Tu Bishvat." A month later, came Tu Bishvat. I changed the voicemail. "Thank you for calling. We're very busy. We'll be listening to messages and calling people back after Purim." Another month later, Purim, I switched it to Pesach. After Pesach, no one called. I didn't have to switch it again. The first 3 months of married life, that was our voicemail. And you know what? It made a difference. At least you come home at night. You could have a night today. You could be busy till 1-2 o'clock in the morning. People used to joke that ours is the only house where you could be on the phone at 2 o'clock in the morning and there's call waiting. And it was true. So, okay, you can't do that. Creating special moments. We make a blessing every Yom Tov. Mekadesh Yisrael v'azmanim. God sanctifies Israel and the times. What does that mean? So, Tosfos writes, what it means is God gave us holiness to impart holiness on the times, to make times holy. So, my great-grandmother, Polish great-grandmother, to her, mealtime was holy. So her husband was very involved in public affairs. If they'd knock on the door and he was in the middle of eating a meal, breakfast, lunch, or supper, she'd say, "I'm sorry, he can't come to the door, he's dead." So they'd say, "What happened?" And she'd say, "I'm sorry, right now he's dead. He's going to come back to life after the meal. And right now you can't come in and he can't talk to you." And close the door. And that was the end of that. So they know that they three times a day he died. There was Tchias HaMeisim three times a day in their house. So that's a very special thing. There are rabbis who do that. They have one meal a day where they come home, and during that time, no phone calls, nothing. That's their time.
But don't you think we have like three prayers a day? We have four.
But you need that time with your wife.
More time?
Yeah, you better. Because it's the most special thing you have. Nothing better to invest in, believe me.
The prayers is only, it's between us and Hashem, we need some time for our fellow man too.
Your fellow man, fine, that's the rest of the time. You got to have time at home. Let's take a look at Shabbos. I think there's a lot we could learn from Shabbos and what Shabbos looks like. Imagine two dates. Imagine one date, you've had a busy day, you're wearing your jeans and t-shirt, you're sweating, you haven't had a chance to shave. You run out, you pick her up, you go sit on a park bench, you pull out a napkin, you eat a few crackers, you take a jug of hummus, you dip in the and okay, you're having your date. Imagine another date where you shave, you shower, you rest, you put on your suit, you put on your tie, you come in with your cologne, you set the table, you put on nice dishes, you put the bread on a board, you cover the bread with a very nice piece of cloth. That's what our Shabbos is. You light candelabras. Look at what our Shabbos looks like. We don't even eat regular bread. All week long you have bread. One shape comes Shabbos. We have accustomed to make our bread differently. Chazal took Shabbos, and this is rabbinic, meaning biblically, Shabbos could really look like that. Wear jeans. Show up all sweaty. Along came Chazal and said, no, shower before Shabbos. Along came Chazal and said, shave. Or if you're shaving, right? take your haircut, come in nicely with nice clothing. Your clothing on Shabbos shouldn't be like your clothing on the weekdays. Your gait on Shabbos shouldn't be like your gait on weekdays. You walk differently, you dress differently, you rest so that you come into Shabbos with strength. We set the table, we don't eat regular bread, we don't even put the bread on the table. No, we have a board under it, we have a covering over it. You're going to drink wine, you don't drink it in a regular cup. You have a Kiddush Becher, right? You have a special glass. Everything's different. The food we eat is different. Our schedule is different. Well, Shabbos teaches us something about life. You could take the ordinary and make it special. There are couples who have a custom. The first day of vacation, the first day the kids have off, they go on a trip to the north. Doesn't matter if Pesach's coming, but the kids have off, we go on a trip. So there's an idea that you can make customs within a home. You guys know the story about the plate? There was once a family that had a plate that used to twirl, a saucer that couldn't stand straight. So initially everyone would complain. Who gets that plate? You try eating with the plate and it keeps twirling. Finally, one of the parents had an idea that whoever has that plate has to be kissed by everyone else around the table. Suddenly, everyone wanted that plate. Suddenly, you knew you were getting affection if you got that plate. It was a family custom. It was a very special thing to have that plate. I'll give you another example. Last year, we would travel every Shabbos almost to Kohav Yaakov and back. And imagine you're taking five little kids with the stroller, two suitcases, to the central bus station every Friday. So Friday is doable. You know, it's a fun thing. Matzei Shabbos, they're tired and cranky. How are you going to do that? Sometimes it's raining, sometimes it's not. And you're schlepping. So we started a custom. There's a spot that's 4-minute walk from our house. We've accomplished all the uphill battles from the central bus station to our house. And that's the last spot. From there, it's easy terrain till the house. The kids knew. We started a custom. Whenever we get there, every kid gets a piece of chocolate. So suddenly, it becomes a fun thing to take the trip. Because they knew that part of the trip was, whenever we got there, this was the chocolate corner. There was a park bench there. That was where every kid got. Now, don't think I'm a fryer. Every kid got a little. I take one piece and break it into five pieces. Part of the reason was also because they're going to sleep afterwards. I don't want them with too much sugar on their teeth. But for them, again, for the kids, that's not the point. You can make something special. You don't have to buy them a Nintendo system to make life special. You have to show them the affection. And the same is true with couples. I suggest people ask me, we just got married. What's the best thing we could do for our marriage? I say, buy a set of Rummy Cup. Why? Friday night, sit down and play a game of Rummy Cup. Don't go talking to other people. Sit down. Don't play chess, a competitive game. Sit down and do something together. You know, Rummy Cup, I think, is just that balance where you can learn. Learn. It's like Scrabble. You're putting together numbers in an order and colors. What?
No.
People need time together, and you need to make rituals that will build the relationship. And family rituals are good. What we said, drinking tea together, playing together. It doesn't have to be big things, but it has to be there. We have a mitzvah in the Torah, the mitzvah of Ona. What is the mitzvah of Ona? So technically, the mitzvah of Ona is a husband is responsible within the marital relationship. A husband and wife are responsible to be intimate. There's a chazal defined for us. How much is the minimum depending on a person's job? So you look at that and you tell yourself, don't you think you should leave it up to me? You're going to tell us how often we have to be together? Well, it's a minimum. It's not a maximum. But what's the idea of the Torah getting involved in this? So the halacha says that the idea is a husband's responsibility to his wife is to make her feel loved. It's not about the act. Yes, technically, biblically, it's the act. But the idea, and this has halachic applications, is that's his responsibility, to make her feel loved. Now, you need time for that. So there's this idea today, they call it date night. The couples have a night where they go out. That's great. And it doesn't have to be complicated. There are couples who go out here to parks. You get a pack of cold cuts. You get sandwich. You slice a few vegetables. You don't have to pay 100 shekels to a restaurant. You can, in 35, 40 shekel, you could cover a great even flagic meal. I'm saying if you want to go cheaper, you could do it even cheaper. I used to go to the bagel place here. You could buy a dozen bagels. They sell you a big tub of cream cheese, and you have enough for 3-4 date nights, right? You know, you can make your own bagel and cream cheese. You don't have to pay the restaurant. I'm saying it doesn't have to be expensive, but you do have to take the time. And a person has to find ways to have special time. So it's natural on Yom Tov and Shabbos. And aside from that, we have a responsibility to make other times special. So again, what did we discuss tonight? We discussed that life will create difficulties for us. We have to create the occasions. We have to create special moments. We have to create memories. Sanctifying the times, the idea of the blessing of Mekadesh Yisrael v'Azmanim, God gave us holiness and we have a responsibility to infuse that holiness into time. We discussed how special things can easily be destroyed because we don't have time. The example of blessing the child on the eve of Yom Kippur, a kid's first day of school, 10th anniversary, mikvah night. These are things that naturally should be special. But when a person is under a time constraint, then they can be destroyed. And the key here is to stop and take the time. The flip side is also true, that if you take the time, then you can make things special. We gave the example of looking into a child's eyes before blessing him on Friday night, looking into one spouse's eyes before you leave for the day and you wish him have a nice day, instead of saying it on the fly, giving that its dedicated 1 minute. We gave the example of tefillin. We gave the example of coming home at night, sitting down for a cup of tea at night. We discussed the idea of date night and the Torah giving us the responsibility of ona, the responsibility to make one's life feel loved. We discussed that there are special times like Friday night, Shabbos afternoon, Yomim Tovim, taking trips, making family rituals, making family customs. Every regel, there are many families that every time Yom Tov comes, they go up, the whole family goes up to the Kotel. There are families that when they make Aliyah, every Friday they travel to another place. They explore Israel. This way the kids get to see places. We discussed Friday night, playing Rummy Cup, drinking tea together. We discussed adorning the Shabbos, the way we dress on Shabbos, the candlesticks, the shower, the shave, the Kiddush cup, the wine, the becher, the special bread, the tray under it, the cover over it, the special songs, no phones ringing. The idea that you can make time special and our responsibility to make times special. There was once a true story. There was a Rav who wouldn't deal with marital issues. So they asked him why. So he said, I had one story, and after that I realized I don't understand people, and so I stopped dealing with marriages. What was his story? A couple came before him, and the wife said, I want to get divorced. So the Rav asks her why. So she says, he never tells me he loves me. We're married 15 years. He never tells me he loves me. So the Rav looks at the husband and says, well, what do you say? So the husband says, we got married. We went into the Cheder Yichud. I told her I loved her. And it hasn't changed. Why should I say anything? True story. When the Rav heard that, he said, okay, I don't understand. I don't understand. I don't know how to help a person like that. So we have a responsibility to take the times, to make the times, to make things special. And then, Mizachim, we will also have beautiful memories because the hardships come on their own. The beautiful things are things we have to take the time in order to create.